So you never really know the incredible people sometimes that are working in your own community or your own neighborhood. So it took a brand new coworker who I recently met here at Connoisseur Media to mention to me, hey, have you heard of the Ungroup Society? They're working really hard in Waterbury. And I was kind of caught by surprise and a little bit embarrassed that I hadn't heard about this organization and the incredible work that they're doing. And I'm honored to have Warren Leach, their founder, on the program this morning. This organization's been around since 2010, working hard and developing networks of individuals that are empowering Waterbury, like we said in the introduction just a few moments ago. Warren, so great to meet you on the air, and thank you so much, not only for being with us this morning, but for stepping into this work that you're doing that we're going to be talking about.
Good morning, John. I appreciate you having me, and it was a very nice introduction. We the Young Group is kind of one of the best-kept secrets here in Waterbury, I have to admit.
Well, let's take the lid off a little bit and let that light shine. Let's go back to 2007, 8, 9, or maybe even earlier. When did the seed that has sprouted into this in 2010 and has now been serving the community in the greater Waterbury region for these 16 years, how did it all get started?
The actual genesis, I would say, would be 2010. Prior to that, on a personal level, I was having some significant struggles with addiction. And I've been clean since November 19th of 2009. And after that, I was kind of trying to look for what the real meaning of life was. I had wasted so much time.
Yes.
So I just had decided, because I had, gotten clean and gotten free of addiction, it's a daily struggle to some degree. Sure. But I was just looking for something positive to do in life. So we just kind of got a couple of friends together and just started cleaning up parks. Like, that was the beginning of this whole thing.
Hmm. And touch upon a couple of the things that you've done to really start making positive changes for the Waterbury community between then and now.
So in the very beginning, I was sitting with a few friends down at Barnes & Noble, and we were kind of lamenting about, the way the Waterbury community used to be. Very engaged, especially in the summertime. There were a whole lot of activities, block parties and block dances and all sorts of things. And we were wondering what happened to those things. And, we kept saying someone needs to do something. Someone should do that. And we kind of looked around the table at each other at the same time and said, we're somebody, like, we could do it. Kind of to answer your question is, we started to do some things that were easy to put our hands on, quality of life things, cleaning up neighborhoods, cleaning up parks, and having little gatherings, block parties and things like that, stuff that kind of just made you feel good. And then from that point on, we kind of morphed into more programmatic things. Like, the more kids that we encountered, the more young people and more kind of disaffected folks out there, we kind of wanted to put together some programs or projects that put people together, but not just for the feel-good aspects, but also to try to find some productive outcomes for people. So that's where the program focus started.
And so with this experience that you have, did you immediately start seeing the return on that investment of creative offering of opportunities to get people together under the auspices of a social gathering, but then kind of pivoting these folks toward contributing back into and investing in Greater Waterbury? And I imagine at that point there was that divergence that people saw that they had worth and value, and that sort of started making the difference.
you know, we wanted to get people together in general. We found that people were not kind of congregating and coordinating and, you know, doing things together socially. So we kind of married the entertainment aspect of, you know, kind of being out in the summer and having block dances and block parties and, you know, people kind of getting together as neighbors. And we started to see that there were lanes and avenues for people who had these specific issues or specific concerns, and but they never really had a vehicle to which under which to affect change in the neighborhood. So the Young Group Society kind of morphed from, you know, doing some kind of feel good project to finding an actual purpose and cause in a neighborhood. And I can say mostly it's driven by different individuals who never quite fit into other groups or organizations. We're kind of a band of gypsies roving around picking up the next good thing to do.
And some of the magic happened because you were able to put some of the original kind of founding group of guys a little bit older with individuals who were those same kind of marginalized or kind of, you know, square peg, round hole situations together?
Yeah. So when I, as I mentioned before, you know, I spent some years battling addiction. When I, you know, kind of first came out of that fog, you know, as an individual, I was looking for something positive to do. And, it, you know, it just so happens I wasn't the only one out here, you know, trying to find some kind of newfound purpose, you know, for life. You know, I coming out of addiction, you know, I had spent a lot of time, you know, on self-serving types of things. So it just made sense to me coming out of that, that, you know, I would kind of flip that around and try to be of service to other people. And so happens that there's a lot of other folks out there who, you know, were looking for, like I said, a vehicle to get their ideas across and to get their concerns addressed. And we kind of all band together to support one another in those things.
Mm-hmm. So flash forward to today, these days, more than in the beginning few years, you're still holding public events, neighborhood parties and things, and doing community service work?
Well, yes, but the entire organization and focus has kind of also pivoted to after-school programming for young people. So what we found is that, you know, older people kind of remember the way the neighborhoods used to be and the sense of community. But technology kind of takes younger folks out of that. They spend a lot of time on social media, spend a lot of time on the phones and things like that. You know, so what we thought we would try to do is help educate young people, not just in the sense of community, you know, but also with programs that they may not readily have available in school. So, you know, we kind of started moving towards an educational type of programs, started moving towards educational type programs and being an educating type organization. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where our direct connection with young people is kind of I want to say organically kind of grown.
Yeah.
Like for instance, we were doing, I'll give you a direct correlation. For instance, we were doing a lot of book bag giveaways and clothing giveaways and clothing drives and things like that to support, you know, underserved people, marginalized folks. But along the way, we started saying to ourselves, well, we're trying to serve and do giveaways for the same families in the same neighborhoods in the same demographics year after year. Like, wouldn't it make more sense or make some sense to try to address the underlying economic situations that keep people in these positions? So to that end, we started doing youth financial literacy courses and family financial literacy courses so people could learn to invest, you know, how to manage money, how to budget, you know, do these sorts of things to try to lift people up out of the condition where they're always in need.
Mm. financial literacy is so critically important, you know, even banking for those who, you know, everybody thinks everybody knows about banking, but there's a shocking number of people who don't really engage in banking even. So moving into that realm was a brilliant move on the part of you and your team with the Young Group Society. But now, you know, what kind of delayed this interview a little bit was a fantastic opportunity a couple of weeks ago that you had that got scheduled on the day we were supposed to originally do our phone call. You get a call from the governor's office about wanting to host a community roundtable regarding gun violence.
So the actual call came from Earl Bloodworth, who is the CEO of Connecticut Against Gun Violence organization. Yeah, but he reached out to me to kind of liaison in the Waterbury community to put together some community stakeholders, some different community organizations, as well as, you know, the city, the city infrastructure, like the mayor's office and such. Mm-hmm. You know, he got my name. I had done a press conference for Congresswoman Hayes last year. Mm-hmm. with the two sitting senators from Connecticut. And I met Earl there. So he thought that I would be someone to reach out to. And yeah, it was an amazing opportunity to be a part of something that, you know, will get enacted on the ground floor here. And just, you know, not to belabor the point, but my day job, I work for Project Longevity, which is I'm a care coordinator, which is a program that helps people coming out of incarceration that have been involved with gun violence or been victims of gun violence. Mm-hmm. So I'm really blessed to work on both sides, both ends of the spectrum, in supporting people coming out of that situation and trying to prevent it from happening with our youth in the first place.
So this was really both, you know, an educational opportunity, this roundtable, as well as, you know, a chance to amplify the issue. And it was around what is referred to as Glock switches, which are, you know, aftermarket devices that can get added to weapons that can cause them to fire more like an automatic weapon than a semi-automatic, right?
Yes. Yeah, but this particular apparatus allows for the Glock specifically to be rendered fully automatic. So if you combine that with extended capacity magazines, you have quite a lethal weapon that is readily available and can be bought legally and turned into a submachine gun.
Mm. And these are showing up. I mean, I'm seeing articles in the press and online, even from the Waterbury Police Department, confiscating these weapons. These are on the streets in all our communities.
Yes. Yeah, and which means, you know, we have to stop being reactive to a situation. You know, a lot of times one of these tragedies happens, and people in the political spectrum say, well, you know, this thing just happened. This isn't the time to talk about it. Let's not politicize it. Well, if that's going to be the circumstance, we're never going to talk about these things, and we're never going to. This is a problem that needs to be attacked at the root. And I use that word with intention, because the outcomes are our children are being attacked. How is it possible that in the United States of America, the leading cause of child death from 2 years old to 19 is guns? Mm. That can't be in a civilized nation. And yet here we are.
Yeah. So what were a couple of the things that you came away with from the roundtable that you think you can kind of use as fuel for the engine to keep attacking the issue and hopefully moving the needle?
It was a good thing for, you know, and Mayor Pernarewski was also there. It was a good thing to have the chief executives of both the city and the state sitting you know, in a space and addressing the concerns of young people. You know, I'll be completely candid with you. I am personally, and I'm speaking for myself, I am personally not that interested in having politicians and so-called community stakeholders sitting on a dais and talking about what the problem is. And I said this to the young people at the event. I didn't address us at the head table. I spoke directly to them and I told them that these are the people here in this room that make the laws, that make the changes, that set the policy. We need to hear from you directly as to what's going on. I explained to them, we did not grow up in the world that you're growing up in today. So whatever we try to do or decide to do is not going to be as effective if you are not a part of the conversation and part of the solution. And I implored those young people, this is an opportunity for you to stand up and make your voices heard. And I promised them that we would be listening to them and going forward with being informed by what their issues are and what they're observing. There is a gun violence, youth gun violence prevention grant out here that's administered by United Way through the PAL, Police Activities League here in Waterbury. Yep. And there are a group of organizations that are all a part of this grant. And they're doing a great job in connecting these organizations. I think the next step is to put young people, and I don't want to say youth leaders, and that's all youth, at the head of the conversation so that we can use the information of what they're experiencing on the ground to combine with the full force and levers of the government and the community.
Well, you certainly paint an incredible picture of what could be. And based on what you've achieved so far with the Ungroup Society, Warren, I don't doubt that we're going to see that happening in short order. And I can't wait to see the pictures and the videos and the social posts of those young people all standing together shoulder to shoulder with other community leaders like yourself and standing up and standing out against particularly, I said generally gun violence, but particularly these conversion mechanisms that help make legally obtainable firearms illegal and lethal or more lethal than they are at first. So thank you so much for the work that you're doing. How can people get to know you guys and perhaps support the work that you are doing?
Okay. So if I could, I would like to say what the work that the Ungroup Society is focused on and doing specifically is that it's come to our attention and observation that a lot of the things that young people are going through these days and the violence that is being perpetrated in the community, we're all being desensitized to it. You know, 30 years ago, these circumstances would not be looked at as a social media post and people say, oh, that's too bad, and move on to the next thing, you know, throughout their day. There will be significant movement on this, I believe, at least the world I grew up in. Mm-hmm. So what the Ungroup Society is actually really focused on doing right now, along with things like youth financial literacy, and we have a civics engagement class, is we have an art and creative expression class, and we have a music production class centered around socio-emotional learning. Mm. The reason those types of things are important is because young people are like fully engaged in social media and influencers and people out there that are delivering messages to them that are not exactly beneficial to their emotional and mental growth. So what we want to do with our programs is try to help create empathetic, thoughtful, critically thinking young people so that these types of circumstances affect them more at their core, as opposed to being something ancillary that they think is never going to touch them or harm them. We want to try to develop that empathy so that people care about each other, so that people would come to the assistance and aid of people who are in trouble, as opposed to our first knee-jerk reaction being taking out a phone to film someone's misery. Mm. Like we're trying to help these young people develop into emotional creatures. And so that's really the crux of what we're doing right now. And we have a website. You can find us at theyounggroupsociety.org. You can email us at theyounggroupsociety@gmail.com. And we will be out in Library Park with our year-ending event, the Sioux Fest Spirit of Unity Festival, August the 29th at Silas Bonson Library Park. Mm. It's a free event. It's a concert at the end of the night, but essentially it is a citywide resource fair, you know, for healthcare initiatives, for education, for these particular groups that we're talking about. And we're going to coordinate around youth violence prevention at that event.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for all that information, and we will hopefully see you out there at Library Park in Waterbury on August 29th. This is the Ungroup Society, powered by the people of Waterbury, this community action network developing, promoting, and supporting collaboration and unity for all residents of Waterbury and the region. Our guest this morning is the founder of the Ungroup Society, Warren Leach. Warren, so great to meet you, and really, I can't wait to chat again. Thank you for all the work you're doing, and please extend our thanks to all of your colleagues at the Ungroup Society as well. Good luck.